from 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Friday, March 20th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. Rockingham County Sheriff Sam Page still appears to have beaten State Senate Leader Phil Berger by 23 votes following a machine recount. The recount did not alter the results of the primary, though Berger can now request a hand recount. Berger is one of the state's most powerful Republicans, but was criticized by some fellow Republicans, including Page, for supporting legislation to build a casino in Rockingham County, which ultimately did not pass. North Carolina Attorney General Jeff Jackson is suing to block a proposed $6.2 billion merger between two of the nation's largest TV broadcasters, Nexstar and Tegna. Jackson says the deal could lead to higher cable and satellite bills and fewer independent local newsrooms. More than 2 million TV households in Charlotte, the Triad, and northeastern North Carolina could be affected. The merger would give Nexstar control of stations in the same markets, reducing competition. Jackson is joined by several other states in the lawsuit, which seeks to stop the deal under federal antitrust law. In Charlotte, Nexstar owns Fox affiliate WJZY. Tegna owns WCNC, the NBC affiliate. A man accused of an armed robbery in Belmont is in custody after leading police on a chase Thursday that ended with a crash on Interstate 85 in West Charlotte. Police say the suspect robbed someone at gunpoint Thursday morning, then later fled from officers in a car. The chase ended when he crashed into a garbage truck near the I-85-I-485 interchange. He tried to run but was quickly arrested. The suspect remains hospitalized and faces multiple charges, including armed robbery and fleeing to elude. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools is moving toward adopting its 2026-27 budget, even as the lack of a state budget injects uncertainty. Last year, CMS factored into its budget a 3% increase in state pay raises for teachers. But due to the budget standoff, that number remains in limbo. Superintendent Crystal Hill says that confusion will carry over into this budget cycle too, as the district will once again plan for a 3% raise.
But if it's above 3%, we will have to make some adjustments in order to accommodate that. That would be great if we got more than a 3% budget, but what that does do is it puts us at a disadvantage because the current budget that we've built is based on a 3% increase assumption.
Hill was speaking at Thursday night's meeting with her Parent Family Advisory Council, where district officials met with parents to gather feedback. Hill plans to give her final budget recommendation at next Tuesday's school board meeting. Governor Josh Stein made a visit Thursday to the UNC Charlotte Dubois Center in Uptown to discuss his priorities, including public safety and issues and the business climate in the state. Stein highlighted the ongoing lack of a state budget. Stein said this may harm the state the longer it goes on.
If we accept the status quo, we risk losing our competitive advantage that we've worked so hard to achieve. That's why I'm calling on the General Assembly to fast-track a $1.4 billion critical needs budget while the chambers continue to work out their bigger differences on the comprehensive budget that's to come this summer.
Disagreements between Republicans in the State House and Senate have blocked a new state budget since last year. The last state budget approved was in 2023. Hundreds of Winthrop University upperclassmen are facing an uncertain housing situation heading into the fall semester after the university demolished two aging residence halls and redirected what on-campus housing remains toward freshmen and sophomores. WCNC reports school officials notified students in January that the two halls had been torn down over concerns they were outdated and potentially unsafe. The demolition removed hundreds of beds at a time when enrollment is rising, leaving the university without enough on-campus space to accommodate all students who want it. The North Carolina Division of Motor Vehicles is rolling out a new online tool to help cut down on wait times at its offices. Customers can now check how busy each site is before heading out. The feature is available on the NCDMV website and covers locations statewide. Each office will show one of three statuses: accepting walk-ins and appointments, busy with longer waits, or at capacity. The estimates are based on real-time data, including how many people are waiting and how long services typically take. State officials say the goal is to help residents better plan their visits and avoid long lines. North Carolina State Representative Mike Clampett has died. State House Speaker Dustin Hall said Clampett had been battling cancer and called him a friend, colleague, and a true patriot. Clampett, a Republican, represented Jackson, Swain, and Transylvania counties in the North Carolina mountains. He'd been seeking a fifth term and won his primary earlier this month. Funeral arrangements have not been announced. The Charlotte Symphony is bringing Encanto to the Belk Theater this weekend, performing the score live as the movie plays on screen. Julian Berger spoke with resident conductor Christopher James Lease about what makes these film concerts special.
For those who haven't seen a film and concert performance, what exactly is that?
So we're so thrilled to be able to offer this to the city. It turns the Belk Theater into the living room of the city for a night. And basically, audience members come in, they watch one of their favorite films, and all of the dialogue and the sound, all of the sound effects from the movie come through the amplification speakers, and the soundtrack is performed live by musicians on stage. And so it's a beautiful combination of pre-recorded performance and live performance. We perform along with the film so that there isn't ever a moment that it's not synchronized.
How much preparation kind of goes into getting ready for a performance like this?
Well, we send out the orchestra parts to all of our musicians 2 to 4 weeks ahead of time, and they'll show up, in this case, on Thursday night, and we'll rehearse Thursday night and Friday morning. And between those 2 days, those about 5 hours of rehearsal, we'll prepare the whole movie and we'll perform Friday night and Saturday afternoon. Very fast, but that speaks to the level of caliber of our musicians, because they can show up and make it sound incredible on the first go.
This one's kind of interesting. This movie, it's kind of very Colombian rhythms, Latin musical influences. So talk to me a little bit about how you and the musicians are kind of approaching this music and preparing.
Of all the films that we've done since we started doing these back in 2018, this is the first one that I've seen Latin percussion take up 5 different staves in the score. And, you know, we'll do our research in terms of making sure that we're aligned with authentic performance practice based on how they recorded it. It's really helpful. We all have Encanto, the movie, as a reference to refer back to.
Are there any particular moments that you've seen in the score or in the movie that seem fun?
Personally, I love We Don't Talk About Bruno. That's one of my very, very favorite songs. Obviously, it's so catchy and so fun. And just having the full orchestra playing along means that these melodies and the characters and the people on screen, even though they're animated, can relate to others because there's this driving symphonic energy beneath them. And at the end of the day, we are all part of telling the same story.
Are people able to kind of sing along, dance, have a good time?
Absolutely. The vibe in these programs is very accessible. Come as you are, have a great time, enjoy, sing along, like be engaged, laugh at the moments that are supposed to be funny. And when you're in a room where 2,000 people are laughing at the same joke, that sort of community experience isn't one that we find very often.
What do you hope audience members, especially family and younger listeners, take away from seeing Encanto, but with a live orchestra?
Our goals here are maybe threefold. First is we want people to have a good time. We want them to come and experience the movie in a way that they literally cannot experience anywhere else. Goal number two, I think, is that people can begin to associate the Charlotte Symphony with musical expression that's more accessible and available to them. And then third, I think, is very specifically towards families, that especially with kids, if this is their first exposure to a symphony orchestra, that it's a positive one that entices their imagination.
The Charlotte Symphony performs Encanto in concert tonight and tomorrow afternoon at the Belk Theater. And a note, the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra is an underwriter of WFAE. And for Friday, March 20th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.